Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome back, Mediocrity, episode 18. It's 18 weeks. We've been together 18 weeks. I'm going to kill myself. I can't believe it.
We've been together a lot longer than that.
We have been. We've been together for 40 years, but we just recently started talking. We talk about all this nerdy shit all the time. It was like, let's record it, because maybe one person will listen to it. We're Mediocrity, where the show is just, it's okay. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com, HighDefDigest.com, the entertainment answer radio show, and if you like wrestling, pro wrestling, oh my god, yes, Wrestling is Everything podcast is there too. And we are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, under Media_Ocrity. I am with a handsome, handsome devil man. You shaved a while ago, you got some hair back, is it growing everywhere? Jonathan Atterbury, what's going on?
How's it going, man? The hair is growing everywhere, like always.
Oh, God. Yep. You turned me on. And how's New American Fitness?
It's great. It's been really going really well. I've been keeping busy with clients and coaching. That's been the main focus lately, is just coaching, coaching, coaching.
Just coaching.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun. I love
can
it.
Can you coach me to look like Thor?
I can.
Oh, my God, yes. Thank you. So New American Fitness, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have a Star Wars shirt. You have a regular shirt on.
I'm just going gray.
You're business-like today. Oh, yep. Oh, 50 Shades of Gray with Jonathan Atterbury. We're going to go to some dark shit right there.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. And then to my left, Jeremy Maggart, the comic book guru, artist, master. And you've got a Steve Rogers shirt on.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a good DC character, right?
Yeah, not bad.
Good for you.
Yeah.
How is Primal Instinct issue 3 coming along?
It's good. I'm about 5 pages in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Any Comic-Cons you're going to soon?
No, nothing planned, really. I mean, maybe in April, I think, so soon as when I got planned on the books.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to issue 3.
Good.
And we have a
special guest. You better be.
Good.
I know.
And we have a special guest here today. Her name is Carson Morris, or in the phone book, Morris, Carson.
Oh,
my gosh.
And you did there?
We're so happy to have you. You told me, you met John a long time ago at a Comic-Con, mm-hmm. So y'all are both really into the nerdy shit, right?
Yep.
And you do cosplay yourself. What costumes do you wear?
Predominantly so far Harley. I did a gender bend of Han Solo, working on a couple other things, baby doll from stuff like that.
I like Sucker Punch for what it was.
I know, it was really entertaining.
That was great. I like
that. Yeah. I own that movie. Yeah.
I like how you're looking at Jonathan like he's got something to say about
because
it.
He hates good things. I don't know why. But so in Harley Quinn, do you do like the normal red and black like onesie, or do you do like the more like Suicide Squad-esque crazy girl?
I have done neither so far. I haven't done classic Jester Harley so far, you know, with the cowl and everything, and I haven't done Suicide Squad yet. Just like a couple different renditions. I did the Bombshell DC version of her. That was my second cosplay. Out with like the 40s version of all the DC women, and it was really awesome. So I've done that and a couple others.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And what other cosplay do you want to do? Like, what do you strive to be? What do you strive to be?
I can read my cosplay list. It's like 2 pages long. It's insane. Let me pull it up.
So is it like, do you want to be like Alien or Predator? That would be badass.
Okay, here's where you guys might not like me. I'm not a huge fan of the Alien Predator.
Okay, movies. That's fine.
I kind of hate aliens.
Well, we don't like you anymore, but that's okay.
Great.
Yeah, just
it has been a pleasure, Carson.
And that's our show. We'll be back next week.
Just a couple. I want to do like Elizabeth from BioShock.
Oh, awesome.
That's an awesome one.
Version I think would be really cool.
That would be cool too, yeah.
Little sister from BioShock.
You got to get a whole team for BioShock. You need those creepy dudes in there.
Yeah, there was one year I saw when Josie and I went, and like right after that game came out, because she loves the new one, And somebody had the test twins, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah,
they were like walking around with the coins and
the
stuff. Really good.
Yeah. Awesome.
So you gotta do that. And so, since you love movies and all this other cool stuff, what are your three favorite movies?
Okay. Top three in random order: Shaun of the Dead, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and probably Dazed and Confused.
Oh my God, you steal my beating heart, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh God, I just love it. That's like my favorite movie
ever. The most overrated movie of all time.
Yes,
no, exactly. Top Gun is, but we already went there another why that is.
Yep.
But okay, well, let's talk about, there's some news this week since we've been gone for a week. And on the last show, I told you we had like a 40-minute show. I interviewed Martin Lawrence. He's coming later today. We're going to add this into the Mediocrity podcast.
We throw it in there for fun.
Oh, God. I got like five questions with him and... Martin
I hope
Lawrence.
There were five good questions.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a little awkward. You don't like it because it's mediocre. The big trailer that was released, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, was released. And the poster, which the poster is badass. It's just them, all the crew, just hanging out by a wall. It was really cool.
In space.
I love James Gunn. The trailer was awesome. What did you think about the trailer?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
I was excited about it. Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt that it's going to be fantastic.
I do too. Well, have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I'm super stoked. I mean, if it's going to be anything like the...
more Jackson Pollock jokes.
Probably.
Yeah. Do you like it? I like that hug. That hug,
yeah,
I think,
the
really
hug
good.
Was good. And I feel like the cool thing about this movie is Drax was not underrated in the last one, but much funnier than I think everybody thought he was going to be. So I feel like we're going to, just based on the preview alone... feel like we're going to get more Drax in this movie, which is going to be pretty awesome. Plus, you're going to get Baby Groot, which is going to be hilarious. So I'm curious, because like that was the one thing I looked for when that poster is that Baby Groot's just like down on the ground, like chilling out. So I'm curious, because I mean, Vin Diesel's going to be Groot again. So like,
oh, he is.
Is it going to be full Vin Diesel Groot voice in tiny little Groot body, or are they going to tweak it? Yeah. So that was like the one thing I was like, okay, I really want to know how they're going to do the Groot voice.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And what do we see in that trailer, like those little teases of trailers? Do we see new characters? What do we see? Do we remember?
I don't remember seeing new characters.
I didn't see any new characters either. They showed you Yondu with the mohawk, with the taller mohawk. They showed a shot of Nebula with some normal looking skin on her face. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there.
She's reformed.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And plus, we're supposed to get a whole nother mixtape, too, with the soundtrack with this movie, which is one of the better things. I mean, everything about that movie was great. I think that's probably my favorite Marvel film still, is Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's a contender. It really is just, I think it's the most fun of the Marvel movies, easily.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, so moving on to another comic book movie of the Marvel world, but not Marvel Entertainment. I just saw Logan trailer, which Wolverine schnick. My God, that was like a pretty depressing, sad fucking trailer.
So tell me what your first impression, because you literally just watched this 5 minutes ago.
I did. I wanted to cry because
it looked
like... Talk
about being mediocre.
Dude, yeah. It came out today. I've been away since then. I don't know what's happened.
You've been away since today?
Yeah, like I've been at the radio station all day, so I haven't had time to check my phone. If I'm watching a trailer while I'm driving, I'm not going to be at the next podcast.
I'm hearing excuses.
Yeah.
Well, fuck me, right?
You're embarrassing us.
Oh, God. But no, Logan, so this is supposedly the last Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman, and he's older. We see like a very deathly ill Sir Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier, and
it just makes me sad.
I wanted to cry. Like it was. This is like going to be the Schindler's List of Wolverine movies. It's going to be sad, but it looked damn good. And you put it perfectly. This is like they want an Oscar.
Yeah,
which it will never happen.
No.
Maybe like special effects or sound, but. Oh, it looks depressing and sad. And they play the version of Hurt from Johnny Cash.
Yep.
And, oh, man, that all the feels, all the emotions.
Have you seen the trailer yet, Carson?
I haven't.
Okay,
I haven't.
So you haven't. You saw it, I know.
I did.
And what were your thoughts of that trailer?
I loved it. Just looking at him, it's going to be a lot different from the comic because... The actual Old Man Logan comic.
Right.
But in that comic, you know, I mean, he's traveling with Hawkeye, the Hulk's in that book, the Red Skull's in that book. So because it's the kind of Fox Marvel universe, they don't have access to those characters. The only right. thing they have specific access to are just the mutant X-Men related characters. So they're going to have to change a little bit in terms of characters, but just the feel of like looking at him all grizzled and old, I mean, it looked fantastic. Now, the big difference, though, is he's got the full-on Wolverine beard.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just going to assume it's a real beard and they didn't glue it on.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume Hugh Jackman can grow a beard in 2 hours.
Yeah.
just by doing squats. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume he just grows it while he works out.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it looked good. It looks depressing as shit, but... Like, it doesn't look like it's going to be fucking fun movie.
Just be the trailer. I mean, I have a feeling the movie may be a hell of a lot more fun.
Yeah, trailers
than
can be super misleading. So
yeah, well, that trailer, Kleenex.
It was a bummer. It's mainly because of the music. I think if they had had, like, you know, anything else, like Black Rose.
I was really waiting to hear.
Yeah.
Well, like, Paradise City from Guns N' Roses. I mean, then it would have been a fucking party.
There's a specific song I'm trying to think of that it's just not coming to my mind right now.
It's fine, we're all mediocre.
Exactly. But,
we are.
Another cool thing is the storyboards for that movie were done by a guy named Gabriel Hardman, and he did the storyboards for Inception, and he does a lot of horror comics.
Wow.
So,
sweet.
Nice. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it. All right, another one. Let's switch to video games real quick. Rockstar for the last week has been teasing, giving us little teases on Twitter for Red Dead sequel or prequel. They posted a picture and there's like, oh God, Red Dead's coming.
Yep.
And then we got a picture of Red Dead. We're like, okay, it's definitely here. And then a trailer. And oh God, I don't remember. I remember when I first played Red Dead, I thought I was never going to leave the couch.
Yeah, same here, absolutely.
And then they did a zombie version too, which just got me back into it, which was really cool. But now Red Dead 2, holy fucking Moses. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to wait till next fall, which sucks. Well, it's bittersweet because I can still play the games now. Like, yeah. It's not coming out in 2 months. And
for anyone that hasn't played it, have you played it?
I haven't.
Okay. So
I played like the first, I don't know, half hour.
No,
okay,
that's like just enough time to get a hang of it.
So Red Dead by Rockstar. Rockstar is famous for,
open world, Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. So Red Dead is Grand Theft Auto, but set in the Wild West with horses and everything. So it's just as violent and crazy as that.
It's so much fun because it was such a giant world and you really could do anything. You could play poker, you could...
Oh, yeah, you could play
you could do the
alien stab between your fingers thing with the knife.
Absolutely.
Oh, that was that called Pinochle?
I don't know what that's called.
I can't remember. That was awesome.
Roulette?
It's not Russian roulette. That's with a gun.
Okay.
I've played that.
We don't know.
Not really. But that trailer was really cool. It gets you really into it. Maggie's real excited, too. And that was the trailer for Red Dead 2. We're looking forward to it.
I mean, just the trailer got me so excited because we didn't really see a whole lot of necessarily gameplay, but it looked like it was all in-game engine stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at the scenery and a little bit of a town and some forest.
And boy,
like
have
that.
We come a long way for that. Was it like 10 years ago was the last one?
I think so.
Oh, God. Yeah. Has it been 10 years? My goodness, what other trailers? Are there any other trailers that you want to talk about?
So today we also got the news for the new Nintendo console.
Right.
Which is the Nintendo Switch.
Which is, like, is it old school Nintendo or is it, like, beyond the Wii?
It's beyond the Wii. So they, you know, the idea with the Wii U was where you could take the controller and you could play your game on the Wii U or you could play it on the screen on the TV.
Right.
And it's similar. But this kind of takes that same idea and runs with it, essentially. So you can have your controller and it's set up in a way, or you can kind of take the controller apart, dismantle it, and attach it to the actual console, which has a screen on it. And then you can take that anywhere. It doesn't have to be anywhere near your system. You can just take it on the airplane, wherever you go, and you can play it wherever you are.
Yeah.
And the graphics are exactly the same, whether you're playing it on your big TV or on the little console unit TV.
Interesting.
And it's got all kinds of wireless... it's got Bluetooth connection, so if you're playing with someone else, you can just be playing in a park or something like that, and you can connect via Bluetooth to each other and play versus.
All right. So Nintendo's been behind the game for a very long time. Like,
yeah,
it's always been the Xbox.
They always find amazing, fantastic ways to just continue to not be relevant.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're trying really hard but they're coming out with a system that's equal to Xbox One, like the new Xbox One and the new PlayStation 4.
Okay.
But it's not going to be coming out until next fall. And so my point is, like, if they're going to be that far behind the curve, why not come out with something that's more technologically advanced than what's out now?
Yeah, my first response, and you're like, and it can play the same quality of graphics on the screen as on your TV. And I'm like, that's really still from, like, early 2000s.
Yeah, it's really a huge bummer. I mean, the thing that pisses me, that I'm still really raw about, was the lack of content for the Wii U.
Yeah.
So Wii U came out, and I bought it pretty quickly, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to play this, and I'm going to get a Zelda game and a Pokemon game, and then they didn't do any of that. They did a few remasters of Zelda games, no Pokemon stuff that was worth playing. And really, I mean, like, why do you want a Nintendo? So you can play Mario, and so you can do all the Nintendo titles.
Yeah.
But they did such bad support for that system that there were really only, like, 5 or 6 games worth buying for the entire console.
That's how Nintendo really is. I stick with Xbox and PS4.
Since GameCube, I think they've been completely
wrong. Oh, GameCube is so good. Just want that. What consoles do you play, Carson?
Right now, PS4.
PS4?
Yeah, I switched from Microsoft.
Which
like
ones
Last
are those?
Of Us.
Oh,
like that.
That's such a good game.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
It's so good.
And you've been playing Fallout a lot, right?
Yes. Oh my god.
Is
yes.
Fallout good?
Oh my god.
I've never
Fallout's
played it.
Fallout's amazing.
I might be biased because I'm just obsessed with the Fallout series in general. Mm-hmm. So when they were coming out with Fallout 4, I just like.
Now, have you played Skyrim yet?
A little bit, not a whole lot.
Okay, because
get into it as much.
Well, if you like Fallout, I mean, it's the same game, just different settings.
Yeah, yeah. I'm aware. I just, for some reason, it didn't really click with me.
You just need to give it more of a try.
Okay.
Trust me. Because they've got the remaster of that coming out in like 9 days now for Xbox One and PlayStation.
Yeah, I remember you guys talking about it.
I'm so excited about it.
Man, there's just so many video games that have no time to do anything. Are y'all still trying to get me to play Battlefront Star Wars?
I know. I've just given up, though, at this point. I really have.
Don't give up hope. You're my only hope.
Jeremy and I have been playing new DLC for Destiny.
Yes, we have.
Which is the Rise of Iron Lords.
Yeah, Rise of Iron.
Rise of Iron.
Yeah. All right.
And I haven't really got it. Have you done much of the story stuff yet?
I think I played through most of it.
And was it cool?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, as always, all of Bungie's animatics just look fantastic.
Right.
You know, but there's not a whole lot of depth there. It's more about them opening up a new world on the Cosmodrome, or a new area on the Cosmodrome for you to explore, and kind of some new there's some new types of patrol missions and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Well, and we like the new game mode a lot.
Yeah, Supremacy is
awesome.
Supremacy
game mode is a lot of fun. Because what that is it's basically like a deathmatch type thing, sick team versus team, but you have once you kill a character, you have to grab their crest that they drop.
Yeah, they basically drop a token, and for your team to get a point for that kill, you have to pick up the token. Now, on the flip side of that, if we're running around and someone kills the Shankmeister, I can pick up his token, and then that prevents their team from getting the kill.
So it totally changes the dynamic of gameplay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
I haven't played
Destiny in years. Just been playing Overwatch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'll get back into it. Red Dead will be the next game, maybe.
Yep.
All right. Video games, trailers. We're moving on to comic books right now. We are going to talk about a love triangle, per se. Harley Quinn, Joker, and Batman. They're probably one of the biggest superheroes. Well, Batman's not really a superhero. He doesn't have any powers. But he could beat anybody, really. And then there's Joker and Harley Quinn, who are both probably the coolest villains ever. So, to start out, what do you love about these characters? We'll start with you, Carson.
I don't know. I feel like almost a kinship with Harley. Not in the, like, crazy maniac sense.
All
but
of us were just a little scared. Like, okay.
We're all gonna die!
but more in the sense of I really love her backstory. That's one of the reasons I love DC over Marvel, is just their origin and the complexity that they give their character.
Her backstory? I don't know it.
It's actually simpler than the other two sirens, which are Catwoman and Ivy, but Harley basically was like a young woman gymnast and gets into psychology in college, and she starts working at Arkham and basically gets like really, really interested in the Joker and is like obsessed with him basically, and finally gets to treat him, which is where he manipulates her into love. Then she breaks him out of Arkham, and then the rest is history.
That is true. That is very true. And that's that kind of comes in. It wasn't that Mad Love, that comic book thing where they kind of explored that. If you look in the Mad Love comics, yeah, that's probably where you probably find a little bit of the origin of there. What about you, John? What?
I'm so the wrong person to ask about this topic.
You don't know who Batman is.
No, I know who we're Batman good. Is, but my knowledge of Batman is pretty limited to the movies. I gotta admit.
To George Clooney and to Val Kilmer. And
really just George Clooney. I just watched Batman and Robin over and over again.
Right. Jeremy, what about you?
In regards to what?
What was the first time you like really got into Batman and Joker and Harley Quinn? What do you like about them?
I mean, Batman just probably when I was younger, was getting comics at like bookstores. That's yeah. Probably when I got into them originally.
What was one of the first Batman comics you read?
Man, I don't even remember what it was.
What's one of your favorites?
My favorites currently, I like. The dog is snoring. That's awesome. I like Hush. I like Hush with by Jeff Loeb and Jim Lee. There's a lot. There's another Jeff Loeb story drawn by Tim Sale, and it's like Long Halloween, and that's a great book. Let's see some newer ones. There's Court of Owls, which is fantastic, and then another one where it's a Joker-oriented story where it's the death of the family, and it's basically the Joker trying to separate Batman from, you know, just like emotionally take away his support team, which is like Robin and, you know, Nightwing and Alfred and all those guys.
Gotcha.
That is cool. So what about, we got to bring up one of the biggest Joker Batman stories, The Killing Joke. What does everybody feel about The Killing Joke?
Absolutely love it.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I've seen it on stage. I've seen a stage version of The Killing Joke.
Oh. Wow, that sounds fun.
It was a very, very low budget, but it was really cool. And like they did like the rape scene and the photography and like they even did the Batgirl origin story before The Killing Joke.
Well, and so Killing Joke is the one where Joker shoots Batgirl, right?
Yeah.
Or Oracle? Is it the same person? Because she becomes Oracle after that,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Right. Yeah, they're death, and then there's like kind of an origin aspect to the Joker of how he kind of became Joker, and like how Batman and him are kind of almost like a little bit the same. It's really cool. It's cool to see on stage because I've only seen the book, so or read the book. But yeah, what do you think?
I really liked it. I think it explored a little bit more just the complexity of Joker and how he kind of came to be, his fucked up relationship with Batman, and how they. And just kind of drive off of one another. And I saw The Killing Joke. Well, I read the graphic novel, and then I saw it in theaters, like, the day before that it
came out. Oh, that was this year.
Yeah, right, before it came
out. So I've heard mixed reviews of that. Some people really liked it, some people really hated it.
I really liked it. It was really, really, they stayed really true to the graphic novel, which I love. I mean, almost kind of frame by frame, which was great, you know. It from paper to, you know, screen, it was... I liked it a lot.
So, and it was rated R.
Yeah.
And exactly. What was there, like, anything rated R about it?
Well, of course, you know, the rape scene is terrifying. At worst, you know, and best. And it's just really, really darkly themed. And another really great thing is that Mark Hamill voiced
the Joker.
Came back to voice the Joker. And that was a super awesome thing.
Yeah, Mark Hamill's always been an awesome Joker.
God, what if he, like, turns the Joker character into, like, Luke Skywalker into the next Star Wars movie? Oh, God, yes. Mind-blown, audience, come on. Yes.
You're reaching on that one.
Yeah, that was a huge reach.
Yep.
One of my favorite Joker stories was The Laughing Fish. Y'all remember that? The Laughing Fish. It was Detective Comics 475 and 476. It had that cover of the Joker having, like, the fish with the hit, like, his face on it.
Yeah.
It was really cool because the Joker kind of, like, did something to the Gotham River and had, like, all the fish, like, kind of have, like, his white face with a smile on it. Mm-hmm. That was just, like, a really cool, diabolical, sick humor story because that's, like, basically what happened in the story. That's, like...
So his plan was to make the fish look like him?
Yeah. And it was just,
very,
like...
Very diabolical.
Well, I mean, like his dark humor, that's, like, weird. What would happen if, like, Maggie, your dog, woke up with the Joker face on?
Well, the fish in the ocean aren't anyone's pet. That's different.
They're all our pets. I really like that story. I don't know why. I really like that. Another one was Death in the... Well, you said Death in the Family, right? It was one where...
Death of the Family.
Oh, Death of the Family. That was one where Robin was killed, right? Yeah, that's where Robin died. Joker killed Robin.
Okay.
We kind of saw that in Suicide Squad with Robin's suit came up. What about y'all? What are some of your favorite Batman stories that you remember?
I probably just have to say The Killing Joke, mostly because it...
You're obsessed with that.
Yeah.
And Harley Quinn's always been like you've said, like her character is just so deep and layered because she's a great person. And then what Joker does to her, like, and she will never turn back. Like, right. She is so far gone that, God, yeah. She's horrifying.
How did you feel about the relationship in Suicide Squad?
I think there were a lot more scenes with Harley and Joker in the movie that got cut out, which I'm looking forward to when the DVD comes out, because there were scenes I saw that got cut where, you know, Margot Robbie, who is still technically Dr. Harley Quinzel, like, holding a gun to Joker's head, and then he slaps her, so there weren't a lot of abusive moments, physical or mental, in the movie that made it, which I found interesting. I mean, I would have liked for them to explore a little bit more the fact that they're kind of abusive with each other. But I also kind of liked that, you know, this is one of the first stories where we see Joker kind of reciprocating that love that they kind of share, which used to always be one-sided. So I kind of liked that, but I'm also really looking forward to the...
Nice. Yeah, me too. I hope, because they're doing like the same Batman v Superman thing where there's maybe rated R and there's 20. Hopefully it'll be better than, because the movie itself, when I saw it, it was okay. It was a step up above Batman v Superman, but that's not saying anything because I did not like that movie.
You just went angry over here.
Did you like Batman v Superman?
Yes, I loved it.
Why? Tell
Batman
me.
Superman was awful.
I literally want you to tell me why Batman v Superman was good. I'd like to know.
I think everyone's a critic, and I think a lot of people are just really quick to just hate on everything. And I liked Batman v Superman. I don't know, I just liked how they were both so brooding, and it really just showed, like, the rivalry that they had towards one another, and I just thought it was really well done. The action sequences were great. I thought it had a lot of substance, and I liked it a lot. I think it got too
much. I think it deserved all the hate.
I agree completely. Was so,
whatever you said, because I was really looking forward to this movie. I really was, and I really wanted to like it. And I go into most movies, I see a lot of movies, and I really wanted to like it. It just, oh man, they just got it all wrong. They're, like you said, it was all brooding. Like, I don't want my Superman brooding for 3 hours. I want the comic out of comic in there. I want some form of fun. I didn't have fun with Batman v Superman.
See, that's where you and I differ, is I prefer the brooding Batman. I prefer the darkness and the...
No, I like the dark...
Batman's one thing.
No, I like the dark Batman. Like, that's fine. My favorite part of the movie was Ben Affleck as Batman. I thought he was badass.
Yeah, agreed.
But, like, the whole thing of them finally becoming friends in an instant over the mother's name, God, oh, man. That person who wrote that was like, I'm a genius. And it was not. It's like, right, really?
I'll give you that, for sure.
And I thought that, what's his name? God, Social Network guy, Jesse Eisenberg, was just a terrible...
Horrible Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I just...
He was the Joker.
He was the Joker.
He was the Joker. And which would be fine if they had cast him as the Joker, but as Lex Luthor, I was like, nope. Not
I know they went, well, they went weird, and they shouldn't have put Doomsday in it. That just...
And if they had, it shouldn't have looked like the girl from Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
Correct. And then I wanted more Wonder Woman. Like, she was in it for like 5 seconds. And I wanted more. I mean, we're getting a whole movie of her, which is awesome. But
yeah,
I
don't
just,
get greedy.
It could be awesome. Or it could be a giant steaming piece of shit.
I hope not. I really hope not. Justice League looks good. I didn't like, and Suicide Squad was a step up. Like, those first 20 minutes of Suicide Squad really was like, oh, this is new, this is good. And then it just... crash into the mountain to me.
Have you seen Suicide Squad yet, Jeremy?
I have not.
Yeah, me either. Oh. So you guys are the only ones that have seen it at the table. You two.
Really? Yeah. Do you like Suicide Squad?
I did. I think an issue that, like, super fans have is that they, like, build all of these movies up so high, and they've got, like, such high expectations, and then, like, when it doesn't deliver, you're just like, oh, that was a piece of shit. But
it was a piece of shit.
But I did. I enjoyed Suicide Squad movie. I mean, of course, it's not going to win any Oscars. It's, you know, but as like a basic kind of entertainment level movie, I really enjoyed it. It was stylized. Again, the fight choreography was really great. And of course, I'm a fan.
She was the best part of the movie. She was pretty awesome. Margot Robbie, we salute you. She was the movie. And there was like characters in the Suicide Squad that literally showed up for like 45 seconds and then they were dead.
I wish we had more Boomerang. I liked him a lot. I wish more screen.
I could go on. We're stopping. But yeah, I want a Harley Quinn movie with Margot Robbie. Like, I want a solo movie with her.
I'm pretty sure
that they're doing that. Yeah, finally, sure. Okay. Good. That's because she was the best part. Joker wise, Heath Ledger, I think, will always be the best Joker. But I think there's always different versions of the Joker, and right. I just think. I don't want to say I want to relate more to that Joker, but I like that character more. I just like, because Jack Nicholson was Jack Nicholson as the Joker. He was the gangster. And I think just, Jared Leto, I think, was just crazy. I'm not into it because he was only in it for 5 minutes, Suicide Squad. So I want more of him.
Yeah, from what I've heard, they didn't give him enough time to really show off the character that he had created.
Right. Right. Again, goes back to like all the scenes that they cut.
So hopefully with the Suicide Squad, I should be getting it. And I'll be reviewing it, so I'll let everybody know. We'll see. All right. So, any other wrap up comments about comic book Batman, Joker, Harley Quinn?
I'm ready to talk about our playlist. Okay. I'm excited about this.
He's foaming out the mouth, people, right here. Like just every 5 minutes, it's with the Halloween playlist. All right, we'll get to it. So, during the week, we usually, you know, we don't come in here as you. You might think that we just come in here and just start totally talking. Unprepared. Yeah, unprepared. We do try to prepare for this.
A little bit.
So, Mr. Atterbury had a good idea to come up with a Halloween playlist. Because it is Halloween coming up. It's 2 weeks to go. I'm working on my Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs outfit. Very excited.
Just tucking your dick between your legs?
That's it, with a silk robe.
You're good to go.
That's what I'm doing. but, you know, everybody likes to listen. Watch horror movies. Everybody likes to listen to like scary songs or, you know, songs that have like zombies or monsters or something in it. So Mr. Atterbury, this manly man over here to my right, was like, let's talk about our playlist. Let's make a playlist of Halloween music. And we're going to post this on our Facebook and Twitter so you can download or listen to the songs in your car for Halloween. So Halloween songs, horror songs, scary songs. Let's start. What we got? I'm curious to see how many will we pick the same thing.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see that as well.
Yeah.
Y'all not going to have my stuff. No, I'm not going first. I want to know.
All right, I'll go first.
Go first.
The reason this topic came to mind for me is because I was actually like, I'm a tremendous dork about this stuff. And when I was putting up my Halloween decorations, I was looking through iTunes Music to see if I could find a appropriate Halloween playlist, you know, for soundtrack for my decorating activities. And really, it was bothering me because all of the playlists that are on there are all just songs that have scary titles, but they're not actually, like, scary music at all. It doesn't feel like Halloween music because it's just, like, you know, maybe Thriller or stuff like that, you know what I mean? Where, in a way, like, it's got creepy subject matter, but it doesn't sound scary at all. So, I wanted to create a playlist of actually scary-sounding music with a little bit of fun stuff thrown in there. So, I'm just going to get right in my playlist.
I'm very excited for this.
So, the first track is it's a track called Prayer, and it's actually the title track for the game Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Nerd!
So, for those of you who end up listening to the playlist, it's actually very specifically crafted from beginning to end. I wanted to take you all on an emotional ride.
So what's it called again so people can download it?
This is just Prayer.
Prayer.
And I'll post the link to my playlist. So anyone who's got Apple iTunes Music can just listen to the whole thing. And the composer's name was Michiru Yamane. And it's pretty fun stuff.
Sweet.
Second up on the list, we've got the self-titled Black Sabbath song by Black Sabbath.
Who's that by? Just kidding.
We have a song, so I also like a lot of kind of classical horror music or creepy sounding classical music, and also just more like ambient scary sounding things. So I went with a lot of more of like ambient horror noise type stuff. There's a track called Dance Macabre by a band called Celtic Frost that is just terrifying sounding. Mm. And it sounds like if you were to actually put your ear up to the door of hell, this might be what you heard. It's
Ooh,
pretty awesome.
That's some scary shit.
And then On the Run by Pink Floyd.
Okay.
Off of the album Dark Side of the Moon, just because it's just creepy. And if you listen to it, especially if you've ever done the whole Watch It with the Wizard of Oz thing, it's pretty creepy. We've got Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, because that's just such a moody,
ominous,
creepy song if you listen to it.
Fucking,
the right side
fucking
of
Beethoven? Beethoven? I like it.
And then there's a track by a band called Throbbing Gristle, which is a fantastic band name. It's called Hamburger Lady. And what it is it's actually, so it's real notes written by a woman who had been in a burn ward that was so severely burned that she just viewed herself as the Hamburger Lady. And so it's all, it's like the whole creepy song with the lyrics based off of her notes. About
oh,
her
God,
experience.
That sounds...
So very dark.
All right.
And then, of course, another Aussie song, Mr. Crowley.
Yeah,
did you have that one?
Yeah.
I can beat you.
Mr. Crowley.
That's not a creepy sounding song, but it's just a fun song. Plus, you've got Randy Rhoads shredding it up on the solo there. So
a
that's
face
fun.
Melter.
Yep. And then we've got another track by a band called Nurse with Wound. This is another ambient noise track. It's called Several Odd Moments Prior to Lunch. And it is just another very creepy, disturbing track. We've got Nocturne number 19 in E minor by Chopin.
Oh.
Performed by Arthur Rubinstein. So anyone who likes Chopin, the definitive performance of his music is Arthur Rubinstein. Just
okay.
Absolutely the best. And then there's a track called Curtain by a band called Portal, which is kind of more of a heavy metal track, but it's just a really good, dark, creepy sounding one. And then finishing the list is A Night on Bald Mountain by Leopold Stowoski.
All right, I know that one.
Yeah, and that's just a very fun. For anyone who's ever seen Fantasia, it was in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know, I know that, yeah.
So that's
oh, you
list.
Have an eclectic list, sir.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Very cultured.
Yes, I want to have a full experience.
That's good, I like it. I'm going to listen to that. I am. All right, so Carson Morse.
What you got?
Well, certainly not the entire score from Psycho, that's for sure. mine are, as Jonathan said, more fun, I suppose. I've got, of course, Mr. Crowley by Ozzy. I've got just a nice fun one that I think everyone can relate to is This Is Halloween from...
This
okay.
Is Halloween,
yeah.
This
I was listening
is
to
Halloween.
It. I was shopping in a store and I heard it. I was like, it is October.
Oh, I love Danny Elfman.
Yeah. Anything from Rocky Horror, I think, is just... Yeah.
High five!
Right? He high-fived himself.
I did!
also, Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones. And also kind of an homage to a previous episode. You guys talked about Rob Zombie. That creepy-ass song from Lords of Salem.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah,
is a
good
one.
A good song.
Right?
I like that movie.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I do like that.
Superstition, Stevie Wonder, Heathens, 21 Pilots. Which...
No big deal!
and then I'll top it off by A Little Piece of Heaven by Avenged Sevenfold.
Oh! We went down to the pits of hell and up to heaven with the angels. How that works. I see where you are. Mr. Jeremiah was
yes.
A bullfrog. What do you got?
I got Ghostbusters, and that's pretty much it.
The one Ghostbusters.
I'm done.
Song.
Ghostbusters on loop. Yeah, repeat.
Yeah.
14 songs, Ghostbusters, Ray Park Jr., right? Not the new shitty one, right? With Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That movie sucked. The original one was good. So, Ghostbusters. I remember roller skating to Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. I did. That was a long time ago.
That's cool, man.
It was awesome. Roller skating. All right, so that's it, man.
That's it.
We were saying beforehand that I was really surprised that Jeremy's list wasn't just like 2112 by Rush. Because Jeremy hates the band Rush.
How do you hate Rush? They're like some of like the best musicians in rock and roll.
Oh, I know. I'm not questioning their skill.
You just don't like them.
No.
You like the idea of them more than you actually
like
them. Like,
I want to like them. I want to like a band that's been around for like 35, 40 years with no, you know, only a couple radio hits, but it's still popular. I like that.
Okay.
But yeah, as soon as he starts singing and I'm out.
So you're not rushing out to listen to Rush.
And then you have Alex Lifeson, who's got some really like nice guitars and really expensive amps, but just they just sound like crap.
All right,
you know, there's no tone in those hands.
Yep. Now, what about Neil Peart? How do you feel about him?
Neil's cool.
He says,
"There's he's got a lot of drums.
Neil has a lot of drums.
Oh my God! All right, all right, Ghostbusters." We got it.
Yep.
Well, that's like the playlist.
List,
that's a good list. All right, so I made a list. None of your songs were on it, surprisingly.
I'm surprised you didn't have Mr. Crowley.
I did not.
You were going to have that one, but I'm glad someone else had that one.
You had a Rob Zombie song. I had a Rob Zombie song. Mine was House of a Thousand Corpses, because that is a scary song. Scarier than I think the Walt Lord Salem song was pretty scary. But
is there any specific order we need to listen to your playlist in, or is it just...
They just listen to it, yeah. And then, I can't believe none of you fuckers listed this one. Will Smith and DJ... Whatever his Jazzy Prince, whatever. Jazzy Jeff. Whatever Nightmare on My Street? Come on. He did like a Nightmare on Elm Street song.
I've never even heard of that.
I have it on vinyl 45. It's so good.
You really haven't heard of it?
No.
It's pretty funny.
It's literally Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff going on dates, going to see the new Freddy movie, and Freddy comes and kills them.
Okay.
He raps about it. It's so good. And it's like that 90s like rap beat, like doom tick tick doom. It's so good. And then
keeping with pretty accurate right there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Your word for it.
That was surprisingly correct.
And then remember the rap group, the Fat Boys? Uh-huh. They all weighed like 400 pounds each. They did a Nightmare on Elm Street song too with Freddy. It's called Freddy's Back with Robert Englund on the track.
Is he rapping also?
Yes, he is. Absolutely, he is. And
how's this thing?
I have that on vinyl too. Like, oh man, and they had a video for it.
That so, I think was a soundtrack to one of the movies, wasn't it?
It was in one of the movies. Yeah. Yes, it was. Oh, so good. All right, Alice Cooper's "Feed My Frankenstein."
Okay,
awesome movie. That was in the Wayne's World movie too.
I'm surprised I didn't think of that.
I'm surprised you didn't think of that either. The Talking Heads' "Psycho Killer."
Okay.
Yeah, that's like it's a Psycho Killer.
So you're just going with like lyrics that are on creepy topics.
Oh no, I've got more.
Okay.
All right. So there's one you probably never heard of. Have you ever heard of the band 13th Floor Elevators?
No.
All right, they're an awesome classic rock band. They're excellent. One of the guys in there is named Rocky Erickson. He has a little bit of the old thing that's going around these days, schizophrenia. Legitimately.
That whole thing that's going around.
Spina bifida and schizophrenia.
Don't forget to get your schizophrenia shot at your local pharmacy.
Yes. Kids. But Rocky Erickson has that, but he's also a great musician, and he did a Halloween album, and two of my favorite songs on the album are called Two-Headed Dog and Walk with a Zombie.
Okay.
It's a really cool album. I highly recommend it. Just listen to it.
What's the guy's name?
Rocky Erickson.
Rocky Erickson.
He's played here. He plays at the Kessler all the time. So, okay. Highly recommend checking them out. And then some of the classical stuff, some of the score stuff, like The Shining, that music, or Halloween, Friday the 13th right there. That one gets me every time, too. So, yeah, that's what I usually put. I don't put Devil Goes Down to Georgia or any of that bullshit.
Tubular Bells? Maybe?
That's just your masturbation.
Tubular Bells Exorcist, 100 billion percent by, what's his name, Oakenfold or something like that? That's Oakenfold, something like that. That's an excellent, those two. Oh, I love The Exorcist.
Yep.
Yeah, that, oh, and anything by Goblin. If you ever heard the band Goblin, they do a lot of the old Italian horror movies. Or they're really good. Look up Goblin. Excellent stuff. Right. Very like 80s synth stuff.
So we'll put these together and on some lists and throw them on our social media so everybody can check them out.
Yeah, that was a good list, guys. That was really cool. Good. That was cool. So let's since it's Halloween still, we're going... Sticking with the Halloween theme since it's 2 weeks away. First off, we all know what I'm going as, Buffalo Bill. I'd fuck me. What are you going as?
I think I'm going to do my Boba Fett costume. Which is really just me wearing a Boba Fett helmet, a Boba Fett hoodie that has the sleeves cut off.
All right. Nice. Boba Fett. What about you? What are you dressing up as this year?
You know, as someone who likes to dress up a lot, I have no clue.
No clue yet.
No, I haven't thought about it at all. All
right.
I'll think of something.
All right, cool. What about you? You dressing up?
I don't know. I haven't decided.
All right. Well, we're the only two people invited to the party.
Yep.
Power couple.
Boba Fett and Buffalo Bill.
Showing skin all the way around.
I like it. All right, so another topic you brought up was to discuss, we've discussed our favorite horror movies, we've discussed our favorite death scenes, but now we're going to talk about scenes in horror movies that scared us the most.
Or like, disturbed us.
Or disturbed us that like really, really stuck with us. And I have some. So let's start with Mr. Megert this time.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Just the end.
That's all you really need.
the chair scene with everything, the dog, killer
everything
dog.
Else is superfluous.
Just the library ghost.
Yeah. You know, but the funny thing is, not I really have anything that disturbed me. I mean, there's usually when I see those, like, you know, I find those, the kind of more disturbing things to be more entertaining. Recently I watched the Anthony Hopkins Exorcist movie, The Rite, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool, like, the when he's possessed and, you know, he's got, like, the flesh where on his face where it just kind of looks like it's kind of rotting progressively the longer that, you know, he's possessed. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That was pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah. And then when they do, like, the contortion stuff in the possession movies, mm-hmm. that stuff's always really cool. I see that and I'm like, oh, that this is awesome.
Yep.
I like when the real people, like the crazy gymnasts or Cirque du Soleil people, get to play monsters. And
yeah,
just, oh, okay.
Like in The Grudge and stuff like that. I think they had a lot of that.
They did that in The Conjuring, too. That one of the guys with, like, the tall, thin guy, that was a real, a real dude. And there's an extra on him. I'm like, God, that guy is creepy looking ass.
That's a scare element that really gets me in horror movies. It's like crawling all
unnatural movement.
Oh, God. Especially if they're on the ceiling. I'm just like, nope.
Game over.
I reviewed earlier this week Ouija Origin of Evil, the prequel to Ouija.
I watched the review for that.
You did? Did you? Was it funny?
It was good.
It was
all right.
She's like,
it was,
okay.
There is a crawl through all scene. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah, that scares me too. Any others?
No, that's pretty much it. All right. It comes to mind.
All right. Carson.
Well, I've got a few. Okay. I love horror, first of all. I'll start off saying that. Horror is my favorite genre. I'm anything except aliens. Fuck aliens.
My soul died.
Yeah. So the entire
Sorry.
The entire aliens world, like aliens.
Not
just Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, not to go off on a tangent, but I didn't like any of those, really. The chess, no thanks. I liked Prometheus, of course. No, sorry about the spoilers. I like Prometheus, but...
But you didn't like Alien or Aliens?
What is it about the Alien movies that you don't like?
I can't even describe it, you guys. I'm going to have, like, non-flashbacks.
She hasn't seen them.
All right. That's my out.
I'm going to have non-flashbacks. All right. Well, we're going to do a marathon someday.
All right, so the first one on my list is pretty much anything from the Saw movies. I mean, I can do some torture porn, but those... I watched the first one when I was 9 and couldn't sleep straight for 3 months.
That's
in the theater?
Young age to see Saw.
It was, yeah. And then, of course, like, I'm terrified of it, right, for several years. And I go back and watch it. I'm like, this movie is dumb. Like, it's so stupid.
She says while looking out of the corner of her eye at the TV.
All right, and then the next one I've got is the young/old woman from The Shining scene.
Oh, okay, yeah, in the bathtub.
Yeah, that really fucked me.
That was good shit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of scenes in The Shining that scare the shit out of me. That's one of my scares me. Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah. The next one I've got is, if you guys have seen 28.
Yeah, I just watched that like this week.
Yeah,
again.
The eyes gouging scene.
I did a tweet on that movie recently.
Oh, really?
Dude, Jeremy Renner plays a fucking sharpshooter in that movie. That was like Hawkeye right there.
Yeah,
holy shit. And then the guy from The Wire, Stringer Bell, the guy from Pacific Rim, he's in that as like the head general guy. Dude, that movie was ahead of its time.
So you remember the eye gouging scene? I can't think of that scene.
Oh, yeah. Because 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, eye gouging scene. Absolutely. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, and then the next one, another Stephen King movie, the ankle breaking scene from.
Oh,
with
the sledgehammer.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Scene.
What is that, hobbling? Is that what that's called? Yeah, that one. Also.
There's like a term for it.
Yeah.
Right. So often.
Kathy Bates is on American Horror Story, and any of you guys watching the current season?
No,
not yet.
So there, it's like it starts with like this reenactment of the Roanoke Woods stuff, and she. She plays an actor that's doing like the reenactment, and she like won an award for it. And it's like almost, it's really funny because like you see her like little acceptance speech talking about the award. It's very much almost like she's talking about herself playing the role in Misery. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome. Cool.
Wow. So meta. Right.
It's like Inception. We need to go deeper.
Yeah.
Another one is a little more subtle, but that horror movie, The Strangers, that came
six
or so years ago. Mm-hmm. There's this one scene. It's like her boyfriend like left for a little bit, and then she's just home alone. She's like drinking a glass of water from the sink, and then you see this, like, dude just walk out from the shadows with that, like, creepy potato sack over his head, and he just, like, stands there and watches for a couple minutes, and then just, like, slowly creeps. That just,
does,
like,
he shimmy,
oh,
just like you did?
Yeah, exactly.
Little dance on his way back in.
Little jig. But yeah, that really, like, screwed me up, which I loved, by the way. I, like, wanted to vomit in.
Yeah, that was a creepy movie.
Yeah, and which was so underrated, I think, too. I don't think a lot of people. And then to wrap it up, I'll say all of Antichrist. Just
oh,
that entire movie.
There is a good masturbation scene with that movie.
A good one.
No. Lars von Trier is an excellent director, and Antichrist with Willem Dafoe is good stuff. Yeah. If you haven't seen that, it is a fucked up movie.
Just be prepared. Take a day off.
It's heavy,
and
yeah.
Watch it.
It's not the Holocaust, but. All right. Excellent choices. I like those.
Thank you.
I like that. All right. Atterbury, what's on your list that disturbed you to make you the individual you are today?
So, we were talking about the body horror thing, the unnatural movement. I think I've got to talk about The Exorcist crab walk down the skip.
That's a good one. Which was
a great one.
Yep. That was not in the original theatrical cut.
It wasn't. But I think every time I've ever watched that movie with someone who hasn't seen that, that's the one scene where everyone's like, oh, fuck. Like, what am I watching right now? It's just so creepy and disturbing. And then she's vomiting blood at the end of it. It's
a very scary scene. But I get why they left it out of the theatrical version. But it's because so much. Well, they left it out because that happens right after they find out that the director died.
Right.
And then that happens right away. So it's like too much for, because you don't process that death. And then this happens. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I like watching that version more.
Yeah.
But that scene, every time I watch that, because I've seen The Exorcist 100,000 times.
Yeah.
And that scene still makes my hair stand on end.
Yeah, that scene is really scary. And then you've also got the scene with the crucifix.
Let Jesus fuck you.
And that scene
is like
just
my favorite scene.
The mother,
it's
and
amazing.
Such a disturbing and intense scene.
That was
so much
that was
stuff.
Good shit right there.
So next up, a scene that definitely scared me was at the end of the first Blair Witch Project when she finally walks into the house and sees the guy standing in the corner facing the wall. That really scared me. That was one of those scenes where, like, immediately hair was standing up on end in that part.
So when I saw the new one, I saw the screen, they hired actors for the screening, and, like, they turned off all the lights through the hallway to get to the theater, and they had people standing, like, at the wall like that, and, like, fog on it. It was really cool. I think I might have videoed it or something like that. I was like, oh, God.
That was perfect. Good.
Yeah, it was cool.
So another one after that is going to talk about the Conjuring 2, actually, a recent film. The whole scene with the painting. With the nun.
That nun, I slept with the lights on for like 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. And I had to watch Seinfeld, like, to fall asleep. Like, happy go. That nun, they're making a spinoff movie of the nun.
And that whole movie was fantastic. But specifically that one scene,
painting. Oof.
That whole scene was so well crafted. There's just this complete overwhelming sense of dread in that
and
scene.
Evil. Oh,
yeah.
God.
So
I
good.
I like thinking about that.
So. A highly disturbing scene for me was in Seven with the sloth. So the sloth who's on the bed and everyone thinks he's
surprise
dead.
Surprise everybody.
Suddenly he jumps up and scares the crap out of everyone. That whole scene was so disturbing.
You know who the lead army guy that led that charge in was?
Who?
John C. McGinley, Dr. Cox from Scrubs.
Oh, that's
no
right.
Way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Last up on my list is from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original.
The 70s.
Grandpa. When they've got her at the dinner table and they're trying to feed her to Grandpa, he's sucking on her finger and, like, unable to hit her on the head with a hammer, but he really wants to. Ooh, that whole scene's so disturbing.
That whole movie's great. A lot of people think there's not hardly any blood in that movie.
Yeah,
yeah, there really
is. Like, really is
gory.
Yeah.
I mean, the most violent moment I can think of is when he first hits the guy in the face with the sledgehammer. Or with the handheld.
Or when he hangs the girl on the meat hook.
Yeah, but even, like, I think the most visually graphic thing was when he hits the guy in the head and he's just twitching on the
head. That was really cool.
The meat hook thing, you didn't really see a whole lot, so it was
still cool.
But the whole grandpa scene was the most disturbing part of that movie.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
So that's
all right. I have a list. I have a long list that really made me
buckle
the person
up.
Who I am today. Buckle up. Here we go. Salem's Lot. It's a Stephen King movie or in book. There was a scene where the vampire came to the kid's window. Dude, that scene just, like, still scares me. Like, I don't like...
That's a great scene.
That scene, the window scene, god damn, that movie scared me. You can watch that on YouTube. Also, Event Horizon with Lawrence Fishburne. There's a scene of that where they show actually what happened on the last ship. That scene fucked me up.
That's whole movie is easily one of my favorite horror
evil
movies.
Evil fucking movie. Yeah. There's a 1930s film called Freaks about circus freaks.
Yeah. One of us.
One of us. Google Gobble. One of us. The last scene is crazy. And just how all of the sideshows turn on somebody. And it, ooh, good God. Nothing you want to see. The werewolf in American Werewolf in London, the transformation scene.
That's really good.
Like, was
still to this date the best werewolf
transformation. Yeah, that was the first time you actually saw a full transformation like that. And then Michael Jackson saw that and was like, I'm hiring this guy for Thriller. We're going to do the same thing. So, same thing. So, in The Thing with Kurt Russell, the John Carpenter movie, the spider head, that guy's head comes off and the spider legs come out and... That fucked me up. A recent one, a Spanish movie, The Orphanage. I don't know if y'all have seen that.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the movie, the mother is playing the knock on the wall, and then the kids start showing up, the ghost kids. Oh, no, thank you.
That was awesome.
You said The Exorcist. There was a 1980s movie called Demons by Dario Argento, and it takes place inside a movie theater. And it's like, I don't know why this resonates with me because I go to the theater a lot and see movies, but there's a free screening of a movie, and then they lock the theater and you can't get out, and demons come out, and that shit scared me. It doesn't hold up as well because it's kind of cheesy, but it is a scary movie. There's another movie called Audition by Takashi Miike.
Yep.
Holy shit. The last 15 minutes of that movie will scare anybody. It's like making you not trust anybody, really.
I don't know. That movie didn't scare me that much.
What? Even like in the garbage bag, like, was sitting there and it moves?
Yeah.
But no, those last 15 minutes.
I don't know. For some reason, the Asian cinema horror films just don't click with me.
Really?
I've yet to watch one that actually scares me. I can appreciate them, and I can watch them and go, okay, this is good. But for some reason, I'm not sure whether it's the language divide, a barrier, or the cultural differences or whatever, but it just makes it seem like something I can't connect with, and it doesn't scare me.
Okay. And I guess my last one would be, we watched it recently, Return of the Living Dead, the amazing Linnea Quigley dancing naked in the cemetery.
One of the scariest scenes.
No, but when she gets ripped apart, though.
Okay, gotcha.
When she gets ripped apart. I remember, because I was young when I saw that. I mean, that movie came out in 88 or 87, so I was like 6. So that scared me.
I can't believe I hadn't seen that until 2 weeks ago when we watched it.
It is such a great movie.
That was such a fun movie.
That is a July 4th movie, too, if it takes place during July 4th. those are the ones that I really like thought off my head that really like that really stuck with me.
What about the scene from The Shining where Scatman Crothers gets the axe in the chest?
I was just sad about
That's a disturbing part of the movie. I mean, what are some other scenes from that movie you can think of that are disturbing?
Oh, I'll have to bring it over sometime. I made like a 2.5 hour of my favorite scenes from movies. I edited it all. I put like text with it and everything. When the scene from that, I did.
All,
I had
all set to the song "Devil Went Down Georgia."
No. It's pretty cool to watch. But one of those scenes from The Shining is when Jack Nicholson is at the bar in the hotel, and he's just like kind of doing this, and he looks up and he starts talking to the camera. And you're like, who's he talking to? And then the ghost thing and everything. You're like, oh God, he's like absolutely crazy. I love your dog. But no, that movie.
Twitching and snoring.
That part really scared me in the movie where you finally see how crazy he really is.
Yeah.
And like, oh God, this is going to go downhill from here. And then he takes the drink and that's it.
Yep.
I think an honorable mention for me when it comes to The Shining is not the like obvious hammer through the axe through the door scene. It's like before that when she's like swinging the bat on
the staircase. Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just going to bash your brains in. I'm going to bash your fucking brains in. Yeah, like, just psychologically, just seeing his, like, deterioration.
That was really, awesome. Because when she sees all the type
artwork. Yeah, that too.
I remember when they did that in the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
And Homer's like, no beer, no TV, make Homer go something, something. And Marge goes, go crazy. He goes, don't mind if I do. He goes, and he sees his reflection in the mirror, and he scares himself, and he falls down the stairs. Was good. I'm trying to think of other really good horror moments that really fucked me up.
Well, I think I gotta say that the Fede Alvarez Evil Dead remake, just that entire movie, everything about that movie.
Oh, I didn't jump on the Evil Dead remake train.
You didn't like that?
I mean, I hate it.
So
I just...
I I'm the world's biggest Army of Darkness Evil Dead fan and Bruce Campbell fan. Yeah. But I liked it, but I wouldn't say that's in my top. I prefer Evil Dead 1 or 2.
See, I think that this blew the living hell out of any of the original movies.
No They're way, totally sir. Different.
So Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness are not scary at all.
Evil Dead 1 is scary.
Yeah, yeah. I
absolutely. Evil Dead 2 added the Three Stooges humor to it, and it still got like a 99% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. What?
So, you lose your shit over me not liking Rush, but he goes and tells you that the Evil Dead remake is better than 1 and 2, and you're like, well, I just respectfully disagree. Fucking bullshit right there.
Bullshit.
I don't know, I just, like, to me, the remake of Evil Dead was good. So much scarier. So, like,
no, it wasn't.
One of the most, like, intense and horrifying movies I've ever seen.
You're full of shit.
I will admit, it was really, really hard to watch. Because I saw it in theaters. It was hard to sit through the tree rape. So fucking graphic.
Oh, the remake?
Yeah, the remake.
Have you seen the original tree rape scene?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is, but it's so much
fun. Right?
It's tree rape. That's what every movie needs. Limbs coming out.
It's just so dated, though, the original one, you know?
So I don't think it's dated at all. At all. Luckily, there's no social media or phones in it, but I don't think that's dated. I think it's friends go into a cabin.
First time, yeah.
Hanging out. And then shit happens to just a normal guy that you would like to hang out with. That poor guy who works at S-Mart.
Poor Ash.
Oh, he's so good. Have you seen the new season 2 Ash vs. Evil Dead?
I haven't seen any of season 2. I've seen the season 1 entire.
Season 2 is so good. It's
I'm
so good.
To it.
Didn't you say that they signed up for like 4 more or something?
No, well, so when I interviewed Bruce and everybody, they said 7 seasons.
Are we on
a
first name basis with them now?
I am. I
Bruce,
said,
my
Bruce,
best friend.
I do.
If you're going to hang out later, I'm going to show him my compilation that I made of scary things.
Can you
text and everything. It's really cool.
I still have the first time we met. No, he said 7 seasons.
Awesome.
That'd be badass. It's so good. If you're not watching it on Stars,
hopefully they
watch
kill
it.
Off the sidekicks after the second season.
Right.
You've got to get rid of those, too.
No, the sidekicks are great.
The sidekicks are so painfully
it's
bad.
It's rough, man.
No
oh,
way.
My God.
No way.
It's
I
rough.
Disagree
just,
with
they're,
you.
They're beyond just being bad to the point where they are fully obnoxious.
And the hilarious thing is, normally, you watch a show, and right, it might start out rough, and then it gets better by the end, but it was the opposite. They were better in the beginning, and the further you got into the show, like the worse they were.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just to the point where it almost makes the show intolerable just because of them. That's how I feel.
I disagree.
About it.
I don't have a stake in this fight.
They're good. Highly recommend.
They're not good.
So that's over an hour. We've had a good show.
Yeah.
We're Mediocrity.
And we're tacking on Martin Lawrence to this episode.
We are. But before we go there,
consistency.
I had to say to Carson Morris, thanks for joining us. I hope you come back anytime.
I would love that. Thank you for having me.
Very cool. And Jeremy, John, we'll see each other next week, or it's going to be our real Halloween show because it's a few days away.
Yeah.
We might come dressed up. I don't know. But Martin Lawrence, if you remember him from Martin, the show, and Nothing to Lose, and The Black Knight, Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ, but just Black Knight was terrible. Bad Boys 1 and 2. I got to talk to Martin Lawrence last week and to promote his new stand-up special because he hasn't done a stand-up in like 20 years. So we have to talk. So as we're going to fade out this show, you'll get the 5 or 6 questions I got to ask him about his life and his stand-up.
And all its awkward, mediocre.
It's very awkward. I'm sorry in advance. I did ask about Nothing to Lose and Tim Robbins. So I was very excited about that. But enjoy it. We'll be back next week. That is Mediocrity.
And now on to our Martin Lawrence interview.
Hey, since you're this comedy legend, what was the first joke you ever heard that really tickled your funny bone?
Oh, man, I probably don't even remember, but it probably was from Richard Pryor. I'm sure it had to be from something Richard Pryor said, maybe when he was in the woods and he was talking about white people getting bit by the snake or whatever. Maybe. It might have been that joke.
boxing's been a big, important part of your life growing up, and recently in the new comedy special you talk about doing shadow boxing before you go on stage. Has there ever been a part of your life or in the future you want to get behind the camera and make a boxing movie or documentary? And in addition to... No?
Because I got that gut now.
Everybody trains, though.
I got that fat gut now. I've never had them abs, so I won't look like a boxer. So that dream will never come true now.
And what is your favorite boxing match in history, since you're a fan?
My favorite boxing what?
Match.
Oh, I don't know. Probably Sugar Ray and Thomas Hearns. Probably, yeah. Sugar Ray and Thomas Hearns.
Awesome. Thank you. One of my favorite movies of all time is Nothing to Lose, and it starred you and Tim Robbins and Giancarlo Esposito and John C. McGinley, and it's just some of the funniest comedic work I've ever seen. How much improv was done in that movie?
Well, Steve Odenkirk, you know, was a good, very good director, and he wrote it, and so... We kind of stuck to the script, but he would let us play just a little bit. So it was a little improv, but not too much, because it was something that he wrote, so he knew exactly what he wanted.
All right, so you played that part perfectly well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You incorporate a lot of music and dance into your stand-up routines and TV shows and film. What is your most thrilling music experience?
I don't know. I don't have some fun. I mean, I used to have a band myself and everything when I was young. So I got to do some have some fun times on stage trying to play music myself. So I don't know. That might have been time. But as far as seeing artists, I don't know. I just recently got to go on stage with Mariah Carey. Maybe that was it.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, right?
And you're obviously a huge fan of film and movies. What are some of your favorite scenes from movies that have always stuck with you throughout your life that has also influenced you?
I had to name one right offhand. It probably would be Richard Pryor did in a movie, you know, like Stir Crazy or something, or one of his stand-up concert films, but something he's done, I'm sure.
Thank you.